For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidicke.com/headlines now.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. The UK's Interior Minister Amber Rudd says it seems likely the Manchester suicide bomber did not act alone. This follows the decision to raise the UK terror threat level to critical, which means a new attack is considered potentially imminent. Armed forces are being deployed to locations including Westminster and Buckingham Palace. Salman Abedi, who's suspected of carrying out the bombing in Manchester which killed 22 people, had been previously known to UK authorities. Correspondent Natalie Powell is in Manchester. She says all of Abedi's connections will be looked at.
The police investigation is now focused on discovering whether this man that they've named as Salman Abedi was acting alone or whether he was part of a wider terrorist network. There are going to be concerns, of course, that if indeed he was part of a wider network, that potentially there could be further imminent attacks, and the UK's terror threat level has been raised on that. Police will also be investigating the bomb. We know, of course, that forensic investigations have been ongoing at Manchester Arena behind me, and they are trying to establish, of course, the nature of this bomb. We know that it was homemade, but it was a fairly sophisticated bomb, of course, one that was able to be transported and detonated at a time that would cause the maximum amount of casualties.
Updates from Natalie on Twitter at Natalie D. Powell. In other news, US President Donald Trump has met with Pope Francis at the Vatican. The short private meeting came before talks with Italy's president and prime minister and a trip to Brussels for a NATO summit. Meanwhile, US President Trump praised Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte's deadly crackdown on drug gangs, according to a leaked transcript. The government sanctioned attacks on drug suspects, which have seen more than 6,000 people killed without arrest or trial, have been widely criticized by human rights groups. From Washington, Harry Horton reports.
According to the transcript, President Trump said he wanted to congratulate Mr. Duterte because of the unbelievable job on the drug problem. Donald Trump's own State Department said in March the extrajudicial killings showed an apparent governmental disregard for human rights and due process. The transcript shows the two leaders also discussed the situation in North Korea, where President Trump described Kim Jong-un as a madman with nuclear weapons. The transcript originated in the Philippines, but White House officials have confirmed it to be accurate. Harry Horton, Washington.
Ratings agency Moody's has downgraded China's credit score. Moody's has brought China's long-term local currency and foreign currency issuer ratings down from A1 to AA3, citing concerns about the future health of the country's economy. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Thank you very much, FSN. I could probably do a whole show on Moody's, the credit rating agency, and their downgrading of China. I really could, but I'm not going to do that today. It is Wednesday, the 24th of May, 2017. As I record this, it is going out live and it's just after 2 p.m. UK time. We're live on davidicke.com. Do bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. There's some really, really interesting articles on David's website today. Many of them, of course, dealing with the fallout from the attack at Manchester Arena on Monday evening. My name is Richie Allen. Twitter is open now. Only now while we're live. It's at Richie Allen Show on Twitter. Let me know your thoughts. Let's get on with this programme. It's a muggy, muggy old day in Manchester and right across the country, I think. Let's get on with the show.
Broadcasting live from the great city of Manchester, England. This is the Richie Allen Show on davidicke.com. The Richie Allen Show, brought to you in association with davidicke.com. And now, live from Manchester, England, here is Richie Allen.
Yeah, thank God for davidicke.com on days and weeks like this. The independent media, if it exists, full to the brim over the last couple of days with monumental garbage. Real nasty stuff, a lot of it unsubstantiated from wannabe celebrities. It's garbage. Go to davidicke.com, bookmark davidicke.com/headlines. We have a lot of questions today about what's being reported in the media. Not going to be telling you what to think. Certainly don't deal in absolutes here. Right, let's get rid of the music then and let's just get on with it. So we're going to talk pretty much exclusively today again about the attack on Manchester Arena on Monday night. 22 people dead. They've all been named now. The names of everybody who died have been released by the hospitals and by Greater Manchester Police. So we'll have a look at the UK press today and how it is reporting. We're not going to cover a lot of the ground that was covered yesterday. Not going to do that, so don't panic. But we're going to have a look at what is being said and the veracity of it, if it's possible to look at the veracity of it. I think much of the coverage today so far has been more of the same sensationalism and appeal to emotion that we saw on the television yesterday. The press is just as bad. Now, as I speak with you today at exactly 6 minutes past two, as I record it, there have been three more arrests in the city, and we are told right now that there is an ongoing raid somewhere near Manchester city centre. The media are loving all of this. There is a raid taking place. Not the three people arrested was earlier. The raid going on now is going on now, and presumably sometime after this broadcast they will tell you what the raid was all about. So that's pretty much what's happening now. So the papers are just as bad in the way they're reporting it. A couple of the front pages are worth mentioning. The Guardian newspaper's front page headline is "Young Lives Stolen by Terror." The Times says on the front page, the headline is "Libya Terror Link." This is all about Salman Abedi or Abedi, who has been blamed for it and his links with Libya. So Libya Terror Link on the front pages. The front page of the Times. "Killed by evil," says the Mirror. This is very sensationalist, of course. Their front page has pictures of 8-year-old Safi Rose Roussos, the youngest victim to be named, and Georgina Callender, the 18-year-old girl there. That's on the front page of the Mirror. The Telegraph today leads with "Troops on the streets to foil second terror attack." That's in the Telegraph today. The Express goes with "Evil beyond belief." It's not beyond belief. If it did happen the way we were told it happened, it's not beyond belief. There's a lot going on. Just look at Yemen, for example. And the Daily Mail, "Soldiers on the streets," is the front page of the Daily Mail today. And the TV stations have continued where they left off yesterday. Drama, drama, drama. More drama, more pathos, and very few questions. But don't switch off. I'm not going to repeat yesterday's programme, because I'm not going to do that. So the massive question being asked today by us at the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com: how could this guy be known to have a connection with ISIS? How could he be known by the security services and fly back into the country only a few days ago to pick up a sophisticated bomb and blow himself up? How could that happen under the noses of our intelligence agencies? How is the question? And you'll be surprised, and you'll think I might be exaggerating things, but I'm not. These questions are not being asked by anybody, amazingly. Now, the French apparently know all about the guy, Salman Abedi. They know all about him. They know all about his movements and his connections to Islamic State. The French know the whole story. So, I'm going to talk a little bit later on how this is going to be spun, because it will be spun, not just today, not just tomorrow, but for the foreseeable future, it's going to be spun that we're better off in Europe, because together we can share information and cooperate with each other to try and stop these terror attacks. And Federica Mogherini, the Foreign Affairs and Security woman for the EU, she's been out making hay while the sun shines, making that point. We're better together. More on that a little bit later on. 10 minutes past two right now. Sweltering studio today. Really is warm. It's a muggy old day out there today. Now, Operation Temperor has been put into action. Followers of DavidIke.com and the headlines page will know about Operation Temperor because we first heard about it 2 years ago. It was put into action yesterday, but it was first heard of 2 years ago. And Operation Temperor is the system of placing troops on the streets of the UK to support the police in the event of a terror attack. And there is a very striking image on the BBC News webpage today. So go to bbc.co.uk/news. Do that now. It might be gone later, but there is an absolutely striking image taken in London with the backdrop of, I think, Westminster, and the Red London bus, and getting off another bus are a bunch of soldiers kitted out in khaki fatigues. A striking image. So we're going to be seeing this in action. Operation Temperor has been launched and the terror threat level has been elevated to critical. That's the highest, by the way. The highest level there can be, critical. And critical means imminent. Now, we've talked many times on this programme with David and with other guests about the manipulation of the people. What puppets on strings we are. How we dance to their tune. We've allowed a scenario, a paradigm to be created whereby we live our lives based on a colour-coded terror chart. But that is the reality. Here's Theresa May earlier today, very early today, maybe even very late last night, saying, explaining why the terror threat level has been elevated to critical, and she talks a bit about the troops as well.
This morning I said that the Joint Terrorism Analysis Centre, the independent organisation responsible for setting the threat level on the basis of the intelligence available, was keeping the threat level under constant review. It has now concluded, on the basis of today's investigations, that the threat level should be increased, for the time being, from severe to critical. This means that their assessment is not only that an attack remains highly likely, but that a further attack may be imminent. The change in the threat level means that there will be additional resources and support made available to the police,
the army,
as they work to keep us all safe. As a result of JTAC's decision, the police have asked for authorisation from the Secretary of State for Defence to deploy a number of armed military personnel.
This is a massive lie, by the way. The police did not ask for the assistance of the military. The police were told the military would be deployed.
Personnel in support of their armed officers. This request is part of a well-established plan known as Operation Tempora, in which both the armed forces and the police officers involved are well-trained and well-prepared to work in this kind of environment.
So an attack is imminent, they're saying. There's one imminent, could happen any time. It's imminent, but they're not being asked by the media, who should be looking out for our best interests, for more details on that, whether they know of a group who is currently on UK soil and currently about to do something. So armed military on the streets of the UK, I do believe my broadcast partner, colleague and friend has been predicting this in his books for years. More on that soon. This is the rolling out of the military police state. And if you look at the police banging down doors in Manchester, and you look at the military, you look at the gear and the hardware they are using, it's unbelievable. It's very hard to differentiate between the armed police who wear balaclavas and fatigued and whose faces are painted. What the hell is that all about? It's hard to differentiate between them and the army anyway. So about the attack itself, I want to get this out of the way, which killed 22 people here and injured so many more. I want to reiterate something that's important for me to get out of the way. I started this programme with a bit of a rant on the so-called independent media. A friend of mine, somebody I know pretty well, well enough to call a friend, in Manchester, has a sister who works as a nurse, and she's treated people with shrapnel injuries, very bad ones, and she's also seen up close and personal a child missing a limb. And some plonkers in the mostly garbage independent media are playing the usual games, saying it was a hoax and that nobody died and it never happened. And I think they're beneath contempt. I've called them wannabe celebrities, mythomaniacs. Mythomaniac, look it up. I've talked about it before. They're idiots. And I think they make it very difficult to reach people and persuade people to listen to the information and to give it a chance. There have been hoaxes, of course, on occasion. And I think I mentioned it yesterday. Actors have been used. Nobody disputes it. But not this time. And to suggest that everything is a hoax is ludicrous. To do that from elsewhere in the UK and from elsewhere in the world is madness. The dark forces behind these murders and those pushing the Orwellian agenda are far too clever, I think, anyway, not to mix up what it is they do. They do mix it up. People are often killed. People died on September 11th. They died on the 7th of July. They were shot in Paris. There's no doubt about it. And people were blown to bits in Manchester on Monday. No doubt. They've now identified again all the victims. I mentioned this earlier on. Again, God love them and their families. And just to reiterate, they've arrested three more men today, presumably on suspicion of providing material support to the alleged bomber, Salman Abedi. So all of that's going on as well. So, and there's a raid going on as we speak in Manchester. So to more of the solutions being proposed. Readers of David's books and website will know that he's always recommending scrutiny of the solutions and the response that are offered. The solutions offered and the response after these events. Scrutinise them to garner clues as to who and what was behind it. David has said that as long as I've known him before that anyway. Okay. Now, the UK Home Secretary is a woman called Amber Rudd, and she's responsible for domestic security in the UK. Now, she's been very visible today and very vocal. Here she is earlier speaking with Sky News.
What we are being told is that it is an ongoing operation, which means that the investigation is continuing to find leads, is continuing to continuing actively. It's an active operation. So until we can be reassured that there is no continued activity around this operation, that that it is entirely safe around this operation, then it is right that we are at this heightened state of alert. It is operationally driven, it is intelligence driven, and we must make sure that we allow our terrorists, our counter-terrorist police, our police and our intelligence services to get on and do their job. And this helps give them the space to do just that.
Now listen to that, okay? I'm going to come back to that. The agencies need the space. So just keep that in mind, okay?
Just that. We do know that he was known up to a point to the intelligence services. I'm sure we'll get more information about him over the next few days.
Up to a point? I don't know how you'd know somebody up to a point. You either know somebody or you don't, she continues.
And over the next few weeks. Well, of course, we're very alert to the fact that there are some big events taking place over this weekend, as you've rightly pointed out. The Manchester run will go ahead. Lots of other events will be going ahead. This new level of critical will allow us, I hope, to provide additional support to those big events. And the police, and Manchester Police particularly, have been working with some of these event organisers to ensure that they've got all the support they need. I'm reassuring people by saying we want people to be alert but not alarmed. We need to carry on with our way of life, but we do need to be aware that there is action that we can take to ensure that we keep ourselves, our families, our communities safe. And by that I mean staying alert, reporting anything they see that they think could be untoward, and just being a bit more vigilant than normal. But otherwise, let us continue with our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, a couple of things there. The agencies need the space and the support. That's where the army comes in. And we need to let the police get on with it. And what that means, I think, and I don't think I'm overreaching here or exaggerating, is that there's no time for analysis of who might be responsible for losing track of a man who only came back from Libya a few days ago, had been in Syria and was known to be involved with Islamic State, right? So the undertone of what Rudd is saying is we won't be answering any questions as to how it happened. It's quite possible that the intelligence agencies haven't got their excuses or their story straight yet, because it is kind of untenable, or at least it should be argued that it's untenable, that a guy like that wouldn't have had 24-hour surveillance. And I know that some people, you know, at times they like to say things like, Well, there are a lot of people on the terror watch list, and surely it's very difficult to survey. No, it isn't. It isn't. It is not. When somebody comes back from a place like that, and you know he has had dealings with Islamic State, it's very easy to put 10 men, 12, even 15 men or women on him 24 hours a day. With the surveillance equipment they have and the manpower, it would be very easy to follow him around. Okay? I would argue that. Not knowing anything about working for the police or the intelligence services, I have to put that caveat. Of course, I don't, but I'm also not stupid. So there will be army on the streets, there will be armed police everywhere. They will look very hostile, these people. They will be wearing masks and balaclavas. But you carry on as normal, everything is okay. Now, after Rudd appeared on Sky, she then went to another meeting of COBRA. COBRA is the Cabinet Office Briefing Room. It's the Crisis Response Team. So she emerged from the COBRA meeting, and the latest we have from Amber Rudd is this after the COBRA meeting.
Yes, the Prime Minister chaired the Government Emergency Committee meeting this morning, and we learned about the fantastic work that is being done locally in Manchester, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the NHS, the police, the emergency services for the great work that they've been doing in really quite traumatic services, quite traumatic situations.
So more virtue signalling there. Everybody's amazing. Everybody is brilliant. Everybody is fantastic. Again, the underlying, not hypnosis, but mind control is there. Don't ask any questions. Okay, everybody is wonderful, she said.
Good progress with the operation has been made with a number of arrests overnight, and that will continue.
I bet you most of the people arrested overnight will be released within the next few days. That's just a guess. That's just a hunch, right?
We have now gone to a critical level in terms of the threat. Operation Tempora has now been invoked, and that means that there will be additional military personnel coming to backfill the armed police officers so that they can support other areas. Today we have 984 members of the military coming forward as requested by the police. They will be initially deployed in London but also in the rest of the country as requested, and they will perform an important part of the defence going forward.
Now, the name of the bomber came out as a result of briefings by US officials. You've said that was unfortunate. Did it actually compromise any of the investigation as you know so far?
Well, we think it's important to allow the operation to be able to continue and control the information that is released. So it's up to the operation to decide when to release that information. I have no further information to add to that, but we definitely respect the integrity of the operation so that they can have the element of surprise where necessary.
Your French counterpart has also been talking today. He says that from information he has been given from British investigators, that they believe Salman Abedi travelled to Syria and had, I quote, proven links to Islamic State. Do you recognise that description?
Well, we need to let the operation continue and for the intelligence services and the police to make what investigations they can. Any new information is, of course, welcome for them, but I'm not going to comment any further on the actual operation.
You said earlier that you thought Salman Abedi was on the radar of the intelligence services. Can you confirm that he was not subject to a temporary exclusion order or any TPIM measures at any point?
Well, I can't be drawn on that at the moment because it's important that we let the intelligence services and the operation itself continue.
Yeah, there will be no answers as to how this guy flew back, was known to be ISIS-connected, picked up a bomb and went off on his merry way. Skipped along, whistling to himself, into the foyer of the arena. None. The journalist there tentatively tried to probe there, but Rudd was having none of it. The army will be deployed because the police need help. Let them get on with it, says Rudd. Now, davidicke.com/headlines is a fantastic resource because David and his team collect the relevant stories, because within the mainstream media are the clues. Now, most of what David does, of course, is support the independent media and present the alternative point of view to what's really, the alternative point of view to the establishment version. But David often intersperses articles from the mainstream. There's an outstanding article today in The Independent. I got it on davidicke.com/headlines. Nearly 7 out of 10 people in the UK support the creation of a form of world government that would be able to force countries to deal with major risks facing the world, such as climate change and nuclear weapons. 62% said they considered themselves to be a global citizen, in addition to being British. Okay, the Comrades survey, commissioned ahead of the G7 summit in Sicily by the Global Challenges Foundation, actually interviewed 8,100 people in 8 countries: Australia, Brazil, China, Germany, India, South Africa, and the UK. People see themselves as global, and nearly 7 out of 10 in the UK support the creation of a form of one world government. Now, I know why David is sharing that information, because this is a result of the mind control that people are subjected to by the UK media and by everything else, all the external forces manipulating our perceptions on a daily basis. This is the result of it. That manipulation brings people to saying, oh, we're better off with a world army. DavidIcke.com/headlines there. Now, I'd have asked Amber Rudd, I'd have said, Home Secretary, isn't it true that the underfunding of the police has damaged the police to the extent that the police can't exactly argue when you tell them the army was coming to help them out and the army was going to be on the streets? You know, your cuts have stretched the police to breaking point. Then we have a crisis, in comes the army. Now, a friend of mine is tweeting, Kate Coley. Kate, good afternoon. Kate says, Richie, it's easy to do if there's enough staff, but there isn't. And what Kate is saying is, my contention that it's easy to follow these men. Kate says it's easy if there's enough staff, but there isn't enough staff, says Kate. And I think we have to differentiate between those who work for the intelligence agencies and those who work for the police. I would argue with Kate, and it's just an opinion, that the intelligence agencies have all the money, all the funding, all the technology they need to follow these people around. And when a guy comes back from Syria, or Libya in this case, he's known to be a member of ISIS. The French have said it. Well, you've got all the motivation in the world to double down on following him around. Simple as that. Nick Molyneux tweets, Richie, I can't wait to explain to my son, who's 2.5 years old, why we have men with guns on our streets when he sees them and asks why. I'll have some explaining to do, says Nick there. Nick, thanks very much for the tweet. Tweet at Richie Allen Show today. It's exactly 27 minutes past the hour. More on the underfunding and what's going on with that a bit later on. So I've watched television this morning. I've watched pretty much everything. I've listened to radio. I have the facilities here at the studio to listen to several radio stations and TV stations at once. And I know, and I want to reiterate, I know when I express an opinion, I tell you it's an opinion, but I know that there are a number of academics at UK universities who are appalled by the idea of deploying the army on British streets. Some of them work at Salford University, and I was lectured by some of them when I studied television and radio at Salford as a postgraduate student. But those men and women are nowhere to be seen on BBC television and radio, Sky television and ITN and Channel 4. The academics who are disgusted by what they see as, you know, more than the totalitarian tiptoe of the army on the streets, they are not being invited onto mainstream television and radio in the UK. There is no dissent being allowed, because the army being deployed is good, it is right, it won't interfere with your lives, it's necessary. Now we come to something extremely serious. Colonel Richard Kemp was on Radio 5 Live today with Nikki Campbell. Now, Colonel Richard Kemp also headed up Cobra, that group that you keep hearing today, Cobra. Kemp is explaining here to Nikki Campbell the need for the terror threat to be elevated to critical, and also the need for the deployment of the troops on the streets. Colonel Richard Kemp, formerly of Cobra, on BBC Radio 5 Live today. Listen carefully.
Yeah, and the police are understandably perhaps always very reluctant to bring the army in to the United Kingdom mainland to back them up. Effectively, they may see it as an admission of defeat for themselves. They haven't got the resources to deal with it. I don't think it should be seen in that way. And also, I think there's a natural reluctance among some in government to see the military on the streets, that people think it might cause extra concern among the public. But I believe that's not the case. I think that it will reassure the public, as well as perhaps being able to step in if there's a further attack. And of course, the police preference will always be to use the army in a lower profile role to allow extra police to deploy in a high profile public role. But it may well be that we either see military people perhaps carrying out security duties in police stations and other locations to free up armed police elsewhere. Or it may be we actually do see a decision taken by the Prime Minister to have a significant overt military decision. It's a police call. If you look back to the Olympics, 2012 Olympics, we had the army deployed to back up the police, partly because the private security operation failed. Many people actually, I spoke to many people and I saw a number of interviews with people who found an army presence reassuring.
It's a good thing. Police are stretched. They don't have the resources. Campbell could have asked him, why do the police not have the resources? The public will be okay with it again. You see, all these people have been handed a sheet today with keywords. And they've been told that they will be appearing on national television and radio and that they have to sell this. They must sell this. Public are going to be okay with it. They will be reassured and the army can step in the event of another attack. That's what he said. You heard him clearly. The army can step in the event of another attack. But where will it stop then? When else will the army step in? You know? You see where this is going? When else will the army get to step in and interfere? And again I ask, why take resources away from the police? Why do that? And then, and I'm not going to try and oversell this, I'm not going to be dramatic because this is very important. You won't hear anything more startling than what you're about to hear today on this programme. Incredibly, Richard Kemp, Colonel Richard Kemp, formerly of Cobra, formerly briefed the UK government on matters of national security. Kemp says that we should be able to deport people, even if there's no evidence they've done anything wrong. Any non-British citizen suspected of something, but who can't be prosecuted because there isn't enough evidence to prosecute them with, can be thrown out of the country, says Richard Kemp.
And there's one way to deal with this, and many people would disagree, and it's a draconian measure, but the way to deal with it is to deport any non-British citizen who is seriously suspected by intelligence of being involved in terrorism, yet cannot be convicted or prosecuted in a court of law. And equally, to strip dual citizens of their British citizenship and deport them as well. And thirdly,
if they are merely possible.
Well, obviously it would depend upon the strength of the intelligence. In some circumstances, you have intelligence which is very strong, indicating that somebody is involved in terrorism. Yet you're not able to produce enough evidence to convict them in court because, for example, protection of sources or an unwillingness of a source to give evidence in court.
What if they're innocent?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, their human rights might well be, shall we say, infringed.
Well, if they're innocent, unfortunately, their human rights might be, well, what do you say, infringed. You'd expect Campbell to jump down his throat there, wouldn't you? And to stop him and ask him to repeat that. Of course he doesn't.
Fringe, but I'd rather see the human rights of one individual or a number of individuals infringed than teenagers lying dead in the arena here in Manchester again. We can't allow this to carry on. There are too many suspects in Britain for the police, the security services to monitor. We've got to take some kind of steps, and that is one of them.
Yeah, that's not far from if we believe somebody has evidence that might lead to the prevention of a terror attack, we should be able to torture them. It's inexplicable that Nicky Campbell didn't jump in there. Did you really say their human rights might be infringed if they're innocent, but it's okay as long as we don't see teenagers dead on the streets of Manchester? What a beauty Richard Kemp is. And what about who gets to suspect? Who gets to point the finger of suspicion at somebody to say that they are a terrorist or that they harbour feelings of sympathy for groups like Islamic State? Who gets to say that? And who would sign off on the deportation of somebody whom there isn't any evidence against, just a gut feeling? He says non-British citizens, but they don't mean non-British citizens, they mean everybody. I'll come back to that in a minute. What a beauty Nicky Campbell is, totally impotent, totally incapable of challenging the madness. We suspect somebody of doing something that the state doesn't like, we can't prove it, we don't have enough to get a conviction, so we'll just banish them out of the country. Do you see how this ties into the attempts by the Conservative Party to police and privatise the internet? Do you see where this is going? So I'm going to pause briefly for a break. It's 25 minutes to 3 on Wednesday, the 24th of May 2017. When I come back, you're going to hear something quite remarkable. Nikki Campbell introduces the spectre of false flag terrorism on BBC National Radio. He really does. Nikki Campbell brings it up in front of Richard Kemp, the colonel, the former head of Cobra. Nikki Campbell mentions false flag terrorism. And you'll hear more about that on Wednesday's Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIke.com exactly 60 seconds from now.
Have you lost access to important data from a computer hard drive, mobile phone, or other storage device? Maybe you have a broken hard drive containing years of information, or a smartphone that no longer works from which you'd like the pictures, movies, and chats recovered. If you would like to recover data from any type of digital device, including desktop and laptop computers, external hard drives, cameras, smartphones, NAS, and RAID servers, then contact Data Clinic today at dataclinic.co.uk now.
There's a place high in the mountains of Spain, a sanctuary where souls gather from all around the globe to learn about themselves and experience powerful changes in the way we see our world. They become awakened to their gifts and their power to heal others. Become part of this ever-growing worldwide family of unique, pure energy healing practitioners. Discover how amazing you truly are. Go to www.markbayerski.com. It could just change your life forever.
Richie Allen.
For critical information ignored by the mainstream media, log on to davidike.com/headlines now.
Yeah, bookmark davidike.com/headlines. Pay a visit to our sponsors. Go to dataclinic.co.uk. Say hi to Chris Seeley. And any electronic device you have, any type of device, a memory card, phone, tablet, computer, whatever, if it's got memory issues and there's data you want to recover or data, go to dataclinic.co.uk. These are good guys and they support the independent media. Okay, right, let's move on then. It's exactly 22 and a half minutes to the top of the hour. And this is your Richie Allen Show and it's produced, edited and introduced by myself. Please support it. Go to paypal.me, that's paypal.me/Richie Allen, and make a contribution, or go to richieallen.co.uk because my Halifax bank details are there as well. The programme cannot survive without your input. Please support it only if you can. There isn't another programme like this anywhere in the world. Not because of me or because of any ability I have or because I'm in any way different or extraordinary to anybody else. I am not. But nobody is talking about these subjects. Nobody is introducing, when I say no, I don't mean me. No programme is introducing the calibre and the quality of speakers and researchers for you to hear and share and spread around with your friends and your family. There is nothing like it. And it's not because of me, it's because of you and it's because of the guests. It really is. It's because of davidike.com. It's because of Fab Radio. It really is, okay? I do nothing other than speak to people. Never lose sight of that, but do support it. Go to paypal.me/Richie Allen or go to Halifax. Right, let's move on. I said I had something even more extraordinary for you. In an astonishing exchange with former head of Cobra, Colonel Richard Kemp, Nikki Campbell inexplicably says he met some people in Manchester yesterday who blame the government for the attack. Now, why Campbell threw this in, I have no idea. I am gobsmacked. He was on location. He's live with a small rig at Albert Square in Manchester. Head office is at Salford Quays. I'm guessing producers don't have Campbell's ear, and I think he lost the run of himself for a minute. I'm going to play you the entire exchange, including the response from Colonel Richard Kemp. This was on BBC Radio 5 Live today.
Just on the edge of the square, there was two young Muslim guys who weren't part of this. But when I was coming in last night, I was mentioning it earlier on. And this is symptomatic of a problem with some people and the lack of critical thinking that we hear all about. They came up to me and I actually said, what do you think of it all? Because I had a microphone, I thought I might interview them. And they said, it was the government that did it. A wry smile comes to your face. You've heard it before.
I have many times.
What on earth put somebody in a situation that they lack the ability to think critically and they just do not trust anything?
Well, I think you've got to put it down, a lot of it, you've got to put it down to their leaders, the community leaders. Shortly after 9/11, I held a meeting with a series of very, very high-level imams from the north of England. These are very senior people, old men, wise. They weren't by any means stupid, and they were telling me earnestly and believing it that 9/11 had been carried out by the CIA and by also supported by Israeli intelligence. These people believe that, and I think it's in a way responsible for a large element of the situation we've got now.
And the leader of Birmingham Central Mosque, Nassim, I do apologise, I can't remember his name right now, he said that 7/7 was a setup as well. I mean, he was a community leader.
Of course, and we have to tackle these people because some of these radical preachers, and I'm not saying the one you spoke about is necessarily a radical preacher, but some of these radical preachers are sowing these seeds.
Those are two young guys, actually.
Right, well, they're sowing seeds into those young guys' heads.
We have to tackle people with opinions about September the 11th and the 7th of July. Sowing seeds into people's heads. Listen to the rest of it. It's only a couple of seconds more.
Those young guys' heads. And we need to look at those individuals. Many of them are brought over from Pakistan, in countries or in areas that despise the UK. We need to look at what they're saying in the mosques. And if they can be deported, they should be deported.
Many of them are English. Many of them are white English people. Many of them are white Irish people who believe that the 7th of July was orchestrated by British intelligence, who believe that US and Israeli intelligence were complicit in the attacks on September the 11th. But anyway, if anybody is saying that these things were inside jobs, they can be deported, they should be deported, says Colonel Richard Kemp. We've heard this before. There's so much to dissect from that exchange that I don't know where to start, but I'm going to start here. Did you laugh out loud when you heard Nikki Campbell talk about critical thinking? I'm guessing you probably did.
This is symptomatic of a problem with some people and the lack of critical thinking that we hear all about. They came up to me and I actually said, what do you think of it all? Because I had a microphone, I thought I might interview them. And they said, it was the government that did it. A wry smile comes to your face. You've heard it before.
I have many times.
What on earth put somebody in a situation that they lack the ability to think critically and they just do not trust anything?
Yeah, what makes people put themselves in a situation where they do not trust anything? I won't labour the point, it's too easy. The irony of a BBC journalist, in inverted commas, expressing incredulity at the lack of critical thinking. BBC presenter expressing incredulity at the lack of critical thinking. If memory serves, wasn't it Campbell's station that told us, you and me, that Building 7 had collapsed in New York City before it actually had? It was still there. It was visible in the background. Where was the critical thinking then, eh? Where was the critical thinking? And why would those young men think like that? Interestingly enough, Campbell didn't interview the young men. He said, I was going to interview them. Why didn't he? Why didn't he? I thought the BBC was open. I thought the BBC was an investigative, was about informing as well as entertaining. Why didn't they interview the two young men to ask them why they thought the government was behind it? Why didn't you, Nikki? Why didn't you interview them? Why would those young men think that about September the 11th and about the 7th of July? Maybe, just maybe, it's because on the 7th of July 2005, a UK defence contractor called Peter Power went on ITN television live, not long after the bombs, to say that, amazingly, there was a drill going on in the exact same stations that were bombed, and the drill was imagining the exact same scenario even that unfolded. Staggering.
Today we were running an exercise for a company, bearing in mind I'm now in the private sector, and we sat everybody down in the city, 1,000 people involved in the whole organisation, but the crisis team, and the most peculiar thing was we based our scenario on the simultaneous attacks on the underground and mainline station. So we had to suddenly switch an exercise from fictional to real. And one of the first things is, get that bureau number. When you have a list of people missing, tell them. And so it took a long time.
Just to get this right, you were actually working today on an exercise that envisioned virtually this scenario.
Almost precisely. I was up until 2 o'clock this morning because it's our job, my own company, Visor Consultants. We specialise in helping people to get their crisis management response. How do you jump from slow time thinking to quick time doing?
And yes, almost precisely. Almost precisely. We were working on an exercise today at the stations that were bombed, exactly the same stations, imagining the exact same scenario. Quite amazing, really, when you think about it, isn't it? Quite amazing.
Doing. And we chose a scenario with their assistance, which is based on a terrorist attack because they're very close to a property occupied by Jewish businessmen. They're in the city, and there are more American banks in the city than there are in the whole of New York.
Yeah, Jewish businessmen and banks. That's why we envisaged the exact same scenario, the exact same scenario with the same result. That was the script. We were playing that. We were doing this big drill. And it went live. Isn't that kind of extraordinary? Kind of amazing.
Today, on an exercise that envisioned virtually this scenario.
Almost precisely. I was up until 2 o'clock this morning because it's our job, my own company, Visor Consultants. We specialise.
Now, where did those crazy young Muslim men get those ideas, eh? Where did they get those ideas? Where did they come up with these ideas that the government was behind September the 11th and the 7th of July? And I think I often look back at the 7th of July because there's never been a false flag terror event openly admitted on national television like the 7th of July, which was perpetrated on the people of London by British intelligence. Wonderful. That's what happened. And my friend and colleague in Dublin, in Balliol Clia, the actress Jean-Anne Crowley, points out, you're exactly right, Richie, about Campbell. Why didn't he interview them and tease out their thoughts? And why they think like that. Any journalist with an iota of curiosity ought to be interested. A, Campbell said, I was going to interview them. Why didn't you? Of course, the reason why is because I bet you those young men, those young Asian men in Manchester, were probably pretty lucid, probably pretty well-spoken, reasonably intelligent. And they would have said, well, I tell you why, Nicky. And they probably would have mentioned Peter Power. Can't have that. So we'll laugh at their inability to think critically. Right. So back to tackling non-violent extremism. Non-violent folks, but whose opinions might inspire, thus they must be shut down. You'll remember David Cameron, of course, at the United Nations a few years ago.
We must defeat this ideology in all its forms. As evidence emerges about the backgrounds of those convicted of terrorist offences, it is clear that many of them were initially influenced by preachers who claim not to encourage violence, but whose worldview can be used as a justification for it. We know this worldview, the peddling of lies, that 9/11 was somehow a Jewish plot, or that the 7/7 London attacks were staged. The idea that Muslims are persecuted all over the world as a deliberate act of Western policy. The concept of an inevitable clash of civilizations. We must be clear, to defeat the ideology of extremism, we need to deal with all forms of extremism, not just violent extremism. For governments, there are some obvious ways we can do this. We must ban preachers of hate from coming to our countries. We must proscribe organizations that incite terrorism against people at home and abroad. We must work together to take down illegal online material like the recent videos of ISIL murdering hostages. And we must stop the so-called non-violent extremists from inciting hatred and intolerance in our schools, our universities, and yes, even our prisons. Of course, some will argue that this is not compatible with free speech. And
it isn't, right?
Free speech. an intellectual inquiry.
Yeah.
But I ask you, would we sit back and allow right-wing extremists, Nazis or Ku Klux Klansmen to recruit on our university campuses?
That was Cameron. We made a lot of that a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, when that was said by Cameron. So he sowed the seeds at the time that it was going to become unacceptable to hold a world view that might inspire somebody else to commit a crime. Unacceptable views on September the 11th and the 7th of July. I was speaking with my friend Hayden Hewitt earlier on today, and we have a lot of similar but also a lot of conflating opinions on these issues. And I said, Hayden, there is no doubt that the intelligence agencies were behind the murder of so many people. Was it 70 people on the streets of London and in those train stations on the 7th of July, just based alone on the revelations of Peter Power? So, of course, these people can't have this stuff coming out, that they blow people to pieces, that the intelligence agencies will conspire to mutilate and destroy English men and women on the streets of the UK at concert venues to further an agenda that most people don't have any idea is unfolding. People don't want to, they don't want to contemplate it. So we can't have people talking about these things. So we're going to criminalise anybody talking about September 11th and the 7th of July. And that's where May's manifesto and the internet bill, the privatisation and policing of the internet bill, excuse me, of the internet for hate speech. See where all this is going. David kind of phrased it totalitarian tiptoe, and he said to me over a year or two or 3 years ago on this programme, it's no longer a tiptoe, because as it becomes apparent, it then escalates. It speeds up. It not escalates, it accelerates. Because the more it's revealed, the quicker it has to rush towards its destination. That's why we're seeing the madness that we're seeing in the world today. The madness of surrounding Russia and China and all these countries with NATO bases, the creation of an Arab NATO. They're trying to put themselves in a checkmate position. Politicians are only puppets. There is an entity and a force behind this, explored in the writings of and the talks of David Icke for 27, 28 years now. Most people are not aware of. But Cameron and his ilk, they want to stop it at the source. Because understanding that the agencies who are charged with protecting you from terrorism are often, in fact, not always, but often, there are radical Islamists. There are Wahhabi, Salafi nutcases. And I talked to Kevin Barrett the other night about how there are cultural problems in some small sections of the Asian community. I'm not denying any of that. But the system cannot allow ordinary men and women understand that they are cannon fodder to be destroyed at will to further an agenda. Because if people begin to disseminate and to understand that information and to process it, they then will move on to figuring out what is really behind it and who and what these people are really serving. There's so many facets to it. I want to briefly talk about Europe, 7 minutes to the top of the hour, the European aspect. I mentioned it earlier on. We've heard a bit today about how in future this will get worse and we're better off together. Europe is more secure together. Listen to the EU Security and Foreign Affairs spokeswoman Federica Mogherini. She said this today. Pay attention to the words, because language is so important. Words and language are so important.
This is a very sad day for Europe. And I would like to start by expressing my personal condolences and on the name of the European Union institutions to all the loved ones of the victims of the terrorist attack in Manchester, and to extend our condolences also to all the citizens of the United Kingdom and the Prime Minister, all the authorities of the country. The victims seem to be very young people. It is clearly an attack to the European youth and their love for life, I would say so. And I believe young Europeans will continue to value their way of life.
So it's an attack on the youth of Europe, and young Europeans will do this and young Europeans will do that.
Life, their freedom, their joy, they're living together, they're enjoying together. And I believe fear will not prevail, and the best response to terrorist attacks will continue to be our European youth continuing
European
to live
youth,
together, enjoy life together,
live together
and react
enjoy
in this way.
Life together. Young people want to be in Europe. Language is powerful. Words are powerful. And there will be a linking of how the French knew all about the attacker in Manchester and how there has been less cooperation since Brexit. The government might be criticised for its alleged hostile approach to the negotiations. This might be said in the next few days, that if the UK were on proper terms with our European counterparts, it could have been avoided. That's going to be said, it's going to be claimed. Right? 4.5 minutes to the top of the air. Paddy O'Hare is listening. Paddy is a mate of ours from Manchester. He presents Force Talk television show on BVTV. Paddy says, it's also staggering that when one points any of these things out, you get the tinfoil hat bullshit flung your way. You get accusations, undoubtedly. Paddy on Twitter. Hi to Spirit Samba. No matter how ridiculous and unbelievable the government narrative is, if you question it, you are an extremist. Catherine says, Trump once questioned 9/11 and was going to open an investigation. Of course, Catherine, respectfully, he never was going to open an investigation. He did claim at one time that the buildings were brought down by explosives, of course. But of course, when he was put up for election and after the election, of course, no talk of 9/11 and an inside job. Right. Right. Just going to move on briefly. Something else disturbed me today, and I've been asked by various people to be a bit temperate, be a bit moderate, to think a bit about bracketing everybody and putting people into one box. I've been pretty hard on younger people, the under 25s, and I was pretty hard on those who attended the vigil yesterday, although I was fair enough to say many of them would be expressing genuine grief and genuine horror at the murder of 22 people. But I talked a lot about how people have been sucked in by the media, how they've been made to think they are part of the story, how they've been programmed by their devices, by smartphones, by the internet. Okay? And I talked about people going to the vigil to take selfies and be seen at the vigil, making it all about them. This is prevalent among younger people. I think they're a narcissistic generation. They are a vacuous, mirror-staring, navel-gazing generation. Truly, truly dreadful. It's not their fault either. Could be here all day talking about the agenda to transform them. Vaccines, medicines, Wi-Fi. Could be here all day long. Listen to these university students on BBC 5 Live with Nikki Campbell today. I think it was recorded after the vigil yesterday.
It's 7:49. Nikki's in Albert Square for us in Manchester.
Yeah, good morning. Welcome to Albert Square, central Manchester. Last night, thousands of people were here taking part in a peace vigil. I was just on the edge of the crowd. Couldn't get any closer than that. It was profoundly moving, as so many people honoured the victims of the attack and showed solidarity against, the mentality which appears to have inspired the atrocity. After the formalities ended, hundreds of people stayed behind, reflecting on what had happened, and I asked some of them why they'd felt the need to come down.
Look at all these people that have turned up here to show their respects, like, the culture here and everything. It's just amazing. It really is.
The people are tough. I think they'll stick through it, stick with it, remember it forever.
Yeah, this is a day in history. It really is.
This is a day in history. It really is. It's amazing, all the people turning up. It's historic. I didn't realise the size of it, said the other guy. Wow, it's one of the biggest attacks. The numbers are really important, and I'm involved in it. I'm here. Me. Me, 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 me.
It really is.
Do you feel that?
Definitely.
I didn't really realise the size of it till this morning.
Yeah.
I live in the town centre, so
yeah,
we heard it all, but like, it just didn't register till this morning when I heard like 22 people had died. I was like one of the biggest attacks in like
I was at work during.
Knowing that people had died at the arena was less important. Wasn't so important. Only you found out it was 22. That's the biggest. And I live in this city. Right.
Yeah, and my managers came rushing downstairs and said, everyone, you need to get out, you need to go, you need to go home, you need to get out of the centre, you need to just get away from North Manchester to get safe. And we couldn't ring taxis, there was no way of getting home.
Could you have been at that gig?
Yeah, we could have. I really like Ariana Grande. Like, it's, you know, we go to those concerts a lot. It's really, really scary thinking about what's happened. It is. We're all just glad that, you know, we're all right. And together, Manchester's going to...
I had a course mate who was at the gig and he said he got away fine, but like we've got an exam tomorrow and he's not going to it.
Yeah,
they're not doing it.
Yeah, we've both got the same exam tomorrow and it's going to be difficult. There's no way we've been able to revise.
Revision's been off the cards today. I've tried and it's just sort of on my head.
You can't focus.
Yeah. No, you can't.
You can't focus.
They had nothing to do with the attack. Their friend was there, but he had nothing to do with it. He's not going to do his exam. They had nothing to do with it, but they can't focus. They're thrilled to be there. They can't focus. They can't revise. So they're not going to do their exam. None of them said a word about the horrors of what happened to the people who were there or the hurt their families feel. Why? My dot is the only dot, David said to me many times before. But to be fair to him, he said their lack of empathy, their narcissism, their focus on themselves and themselves only is because they are the most targeted generation ever through the bombardment of medicine and vaccines and technology, transforming them, neurologically transforming them, transforming their personalities. To be fair to David, he said to me today, there are many among them not like that, breaking away from it. You can't, you know, categorise an entire generation as having the same characteristics. But I thought it was extraordinary to hear the excitement of them. Massive, isn't it? It's massive. It's great. Came down here today because it's massive. We're a part of it. We're in the story. We're part of the story. Quite extraordinary for me to hear that today, and it kind of, I suppose, in some way, not validates, but it lends some credibility to what I was trying to get through to you. Shouldn't be trying to get anything true to you, basically, or through to you, but what I was trying to explain last night, the point I was trying to make, there you have it right there. That's it for today. Thank you for tuning in. This will be repeated at 7 p.m. the time the programme normally goes out. We'll have it on social media, YouTube, of course, and podcast as well a bit later on. Stay in touch with davidicke.com/headlines because a lot of these stories and a lot of things that are not being said, you'll see them on the website davidicke.com/headlines. There is a collection of vital information on there that you will not get on television or on radio. So look after yourselves and one another. I hope some of that was interesting for you today. I'm going to leave you with, this is kind of extraordinary again, really, you know. Nick Robinson is a political editor with the BBC and used to work for ITV. He's a senior presenter on news programmes talking about politics. He's changed his Twitter, what do you call it? His profile picture to I Love Manchester. They all do that. See, this is all about drama and evoking a response. But he tweeted 32 minutes ago. He tweeted, sign of the times. Security was low when I arrived at Chelsea Flower Show this morning. By lunchtime, armed police plus airport style checks. That's on the Twitter feed of Nick Robinson. Yes. Armed police everywhere, airport-style checks. Do you know why? Because we are being conditioned to accept unconditionally the imposition of a military police state. The policing of the internet, the legislation for hate speech, which will include having opinions on things like September the 11th and the 7th of July. That brings me right back to the beginning and to David's comments. Have a look at the solutions offered and the changes made after events like the terrible events we saw on Monday night when 22 people were murdered. Look at the response. Look at the solutions offered to give you a clue as to who was really behind it. And that's not to suggest, as I said earlier on, that we don't have cultural problems here. We talk about the divide and conquer agenda. That's not to suggest that Wahhabi Salafis don't exist. They really do. But usually, the deep state tentacles are attached to all of that anyway. 3:05 on Wednesday, the 24th of May 2017. Things might happen from now. I am not here to cover them. That's the thing about these things when they move so fast. But that's what we know today. I thought the... But some of the interesting things, the Richard Kemp, the colonel, the introduction of deporting people, whether you have proof they did anything or not, shutting down of the internet, these things are going to be relevant in the coming days anyway. Please share this programme on your social media pages. Encourage people to consider it and to listen to it and to consider some of the themes. I've been Richie Allen. The programme is produced, edited and introduced by myself. It is always brought to you in association with davidicke.com, Fab Radio 2 and of course Tune In Radio. Going to leave you and love you. Until tomorrow Thursday, when I will be doing radio because of this, because I can't fit what I want to do tomorrow into a TV programme. I'll be live on the air tomorrow Thursday at 7 p.m. The TV show will go back a week till the following Thursday. So until tomorrow then at 7 p.m, that of course being 7 p.m. British summer time, look after yourselves and one another. DavidIcke.com/headlines. Bye for now. Bye now.
Broadcasting the information the mainstream media won't touch. This is the Richie Allen Show in association with DavidIcke.com.